This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with our guest, Dr. Phil Gigliotti. If you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, Dr. Phil is beginning to share his testimony and story with us, his journey. He was baptized as a Catholic, a young Italian, but rejected that faith for most of his early adult life. And so what he talked about yesterday and the struggles of what that meant, and he's going to share a little bit with us today about how we met the Lord and how the Lord brought him back to his roots and the fruitful way in which God has used him in his life. Welcome back, Dr. Phil.
Well, thanks, Peter. It's great to be
here again. Dr. Phil. You know, that's a famous name now.
I'm not the famous one.
Yeah.
Like, for all my life, people called me Dr. Phil, like here and in this mission we were doing in Mexico, and everybody used to call me Dr. Phil. And now whoever says that now, they have to laugh because of this guy on TV. Anyway, well, it's great to be back.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to have you back. And yesterday, you really ended the program by describing that first 20 years of your married life and your professional life as a doctor. And you basically were living as if God didn't exist. You mentioned occasionally you'd hear the little still small voice saying, you know, that you're going to be judged for how you live your life. And the rest of it, you just pushed that out of your head. Yeah. Well, how did all that change?
Well, it changed one day when I was driving to work. I do a lot of driving. And when I was in my car, which was a lot of the time, I used to listen either to public radio or rock and roll. And I knew everything there was to know about rock and roll. So people used to call me and say, who sang such and such a thing? And I would say, oh, it was this group. It was April of 67. It was on this album. It was the third cut on the first side. Now, I know you young people don't know anything about first side and second side.
And albums.
The vinyl albums.
What's an album?
Yeah, the old vinyl albums. And so, like, I knew all this useless knowledge. I mean, John Lennon had been my hero. And when John Lennon died, I actually felt worse than when my parents died.
You did?
Yes. I was like shaken. And I was at work and people were calling me from all over the country to make sure I was all right. I mean, that's how weird it was. And, you know, it was kind of like that anti-establishment, everything is terrible kind of
thing.
So
you want a revolution.
You want a revolution. I like the depressing music that he did after the Beatles. And
you know, this is a brief aside. I happened to listen to an old Bob Dylan.
He was one of my
His Christian album is called Saved.
Yeah.
And
he was on the video.
And the first one, Slow Train Coming, I think. He had a song in there called You Gotta Serve Somebody.
Yeah.
And it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody.
He said,
but when John Lennon heard that song, he got so angry. He wrote a song called You Gotta Serve Yourself. He rejected, you know, because he had basically rejected the whole idea you know, submitting your life to God, that kind of a thing.
If you listen to those songs, in fact, when I hear them now on a radio or somebody playing them, I turn it off. I don't like to hear the negative things, like, you know, one is I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in, you know, it goes through this whole big list.
Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try, hell below us, above us, only sky, all that kind of stuff.
But some of the
imagine a fantasy world kind of
thing. Yeah, the other stuff, though, is so dark and negative.
But anyway, so that's
that's how I was. So I'm driving in my car and I flip between public radio and the local rock and roll stations. So one day, I'm driving over Interstate 480. I can still picture where I was at the time. And, you know, I wasn't, like I say, I wasn't a drug addict. I wasn't in the gutter. I wasn't, you know, in prison. I wasn't like, nobody came to talk to me and said, listen, son, you know, well, they wouldn't have called me son because I was almost 44. But anyway, listen here, you middle-aged, bald guy. And I didn't think I was getting any of that, you know, by going to church, because I just wanted to just go and get it over with and leave. So one day I'm driving over the highway and I flip to a channel and I hear a preacher. Now, I got to tell you, I knew there was such a thing as Christian preachers, and I had seen some of these guys on TV. And when those scandals from whenever it was, you know, with Jimmy Swaggart and whatever,
Jim
Baker.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, they were all sort of like that if you had a TV show.
Yeah.
I know the guys on Crossing the Goal aren't like that. But anyway, so I hear this preacher and I hear this little southern drawl and he's talking about Jesus. And within several seconds, what went through my mind is, here's another one of these yahoos from the backwoods, bilking little old ladies out of money. His wife's at the country club. He lives on a $5 million house. He's laughing all the way to the bank. Click. And I turned it to the station I was looking for in the first place. And something in my head, which I didn't know what it was at the time, or I should say didn't know who he was at the time, said, put him back and listen to what he's saying. And the weird thing was that I did it.
Yeah.
And I put him back, and I'm listening to what he's saying. Except he might as well have been speaking Chinese or Greek or Hebrew, because I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Because he's talking about something from the Old Testament, and he's talking about when they were building the temple. And I mean, I knew historically there was a temple, and I knew historically where it was, and I knew there were sacrifices, and I knew, you know, sort of the historic things. But he was describing things I didn't understand. So I listened to him for a half hour. I got to the hospital, I got out of the car, and I thought, why was I listening to that? I couldn't believe it. Then I forgot about it. Next day, you know, I usually leave the house about the same time. Next day, I thought, I'll put him back and listen to what he's talking about. So I put him back again, purposely this time. So I'm listening to this guy another half hour, and then the next day. So a few days I'm listening. So then what happened was, what went through my head was, you know, I'm kind of a smart guy, and I know about history and social things. And I mean, I was trained in the sciences, but I love history and social issues and, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm thinking, as an educated person, why don't I know what he's talking about? And on the other hand, it's like, why has nobody in church ever told me about this? I mean, you know, I didn't know anything about what he's talking about. So I thought about it, and I thought, well, maybe I should buy a Bible, or maybe I should start reading something about this. So, you know, being a very spiritual guy, I went to that famous Christian bookstore called Borders, which unfortunately is all closed up.
It's now defunct. Yeah.
And I looked at this shelf full of like 52 different Bibles, you know, Bible for this and Bible for this and this edition, this edition. And I said, I don't know what to buy. So I didn't buy any of them. And so in the meantime, I'm listening to this guy every morning on my way to work. And then I find out when I get in the car at other times during the day, there's other guys on the same station that are either preaching the gospel or talking about, you know, the Old Testament or talking about whatever. So I get intrigued by this. So I did go to a Catholic bookstore, and I did buy a Catholic Bible, which is this one I'm showing Peter. that was in February of 1995. And of course, I didn't know where to start. So the Bible sat there looking very pristine for probably about a month.
It's got some wear and tear on it right now, though.
Probably about a month.
It's a New American Bible, St. Joseph's edition. St. Joseph's edition.
Yeah, this was kind of the NAB. Original.
Yeah.
I feel bad I didn't write the date in it when I bought it, because that would have been cool. But it was sometime in February. So as I'm listening to these preachers, I'm thinking to myself, how do I start even thinking about what they're talking about? So I hear this discussion about the sacrifices in the temple. And although I knew there were sacrifices, I didn't look at it this way. And the preacher's talking about how you brought the animal to the temple, and you put the animal on the altar, and you laid your hands on the animal, and your sin was transferred to the animal. And then the Levitical priest cut the animal's throat, without hitting a bone, I might add, cut the animal's throat, collected the blood, sprinkled the blood on the altar, and your sin was atoned for. And I thought, wow. So I'm listening to this like on the edge of my seat, except I'm driving, so like edge of my steering wheel.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to this guy, got my ear on the radio, and I'm just like intrigued by this, and I'm like in suspense. And he goes, now, the question you have to ask yourself is, what did that lamb have to do with your sin? And the answer, of course, was nothing. It was an innocent victim. A few minutes ago, you know, a couple hours before this, it was a cute little lamb grazing in the pasture, and now he had his throat cut because of something I did. So this just blew me away. And this is when the lights went on. And I thought, wow, this is what Jesus did. And I was like frozen in my emotions, because I thought, I'm 43 years old. I was just a couple of months shy of 44. And I realized why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. I heard that for 43 years, and I thought they just
called
him
that. It never registered what it meant.
No, I thought they called him that because he was nice. You know, I always think like everything with
Jesus lambs
was,
are cuddly and nice.
Yeah. Like, you know, he was nice, and, you know, someday he's going to judge me, but most of the time he's nice.
Yeah.
You know, and now I do a lot of studying in the Old Testament, and I teach Christians the Torah, and I do a lot of things we'll talk about some other time, but, you know, most Christians say, well, I don't like studying the Old Testament because there's all those names, there's all those battles, and in those days, God was really mean. Now he's nice, but then he was really mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, so all of a sudden, I said, so that's why he's called the Lamb of God. So I turned the radio off because I couldn't deal with it anymore. I had to think about this.
Hmm.
So being a, you know, being an intellectual, scientific person, I said, well, I'm going to figure this out. There's got to be a way to figure this out, what this means. Because after all, science and math can explain everything. Science explains everything. So I set about trying to figure out who Jesus was and what did he do. Mm-hmm. And I figured out
who he was really, as opposed to just the stories that were out there, which may or may not have been true in your mind.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So, we're here with Dr. Phil Giuliati. If you're just tuning into the program now, Dr. Phil's from Cleveland. He's been sharing his testimony with us over the last couple of days. We have just a couple of minutes in today's program, but go ahead, continue on.
But, you know, I should add what you just said. If somebody would have said to me during any of that time, was Jesus the Messiah? I would have said yes. And if they would have said, was he crucified and raised from the dead? I would have said yes. And if somebody would have said, is that why we can go to heaven now? I would have said, I guess. I'm not sure because mm-hmm. I think it depends on like what you do and how nice mm-hmm. you are and, you know, how you treat other people. But in general, yes. But it was an intellectual assent. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a faith statement. Mm-hmm. I knew that he was somebody different. I knew he was God and he was man. I mean, I knew that. But it didn't, for some reason, didn't mean anything to me. I had scales over my eyes like Paul. And
yeah.
I had intellectual belief in that stuff. But for some reason, it didn't mean anything to me. And I, you know, I because my heart hadn't been transformed. It was mm-hmm. just in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And
it had gone from your head to your heart, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So as I'm trying to put myself in, I tried to put myself in his head. So now, see, at the time, I didn't realize how ridiculous that was, that I was this miserable, sinful creature that, you know, I was trying to put myself in the mind of the creator. And, you know, it sounds so silly now that we both have to laugh.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was very serious. I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how the Lord started to call you back.
Yeah.
Of all things, having you listen to this crazy radio preacher in your mind at the time, you know, this crazy guy. And built a hunger in you, established a hunger in you, and you continued to pursue that hunger.
Yeah.
And the Lord drew your mind, he drew your heart, he's drawing your whole person into a relationship with him. And I know there's a whole lot more to the story. Can you join us again tomorrow?
Again.
Hey, it's really great having you here. It's a wonderful story. And all you who are listening, maybe you today feel like you're far off from the Lord. You're not sure if he exists, if he loves you and knows you. And I want to tell you today that the Lord does love you. He's called you, he's named you, he's made you for himself, and he desires to have a relationship with you and to draw you into the life of his church. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.